I be playing. Good morning and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's the third Saturday in October, which means Bama versus those orange people in Knoxville. We've got a lot to discuss about that game today. But first, I'm Mark Mayfield with the Office of Student Media here at the University of Alabama. And with me, our co-host, Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, and Andrew Deere, Coordinator of Informal Recreation on campus. Guys, there aren't a whole lot of major games today, but Bama is certainly in one of the few really big games that will draw national attention today.
Yeah, not as many big games as we had last week, but the two or three big games that we do have are certainly top five, top ten showdowns, and will garner most of the attention, including this game, the Ohio State-Wisconsin game, certainly a big one as well, and not as big as those two, but Ole Miss-Arkansas is an interesting game in that 6 o'clock slot. Stanford-Notre Dame is a little less interesting than it used to be, for sure, because both of those teams have taken some losses, Notre Dame more than not. But, Bama-Tennessee has got to really lead the national attention today, certainly south of Indiana or wherever Wisconsin line breaks. You've really got a tale of the North and the South today as far as who's got the biggest game.
Right. It's obviously a really exciting day for college football and for Alabama fans. This is the first time – I mean, last year a little bit, but this is the first time really that Tennessee fans, I think, can be excited about playing Alabama. The past 9 years since Nick Saban's been here, it's just been miserable for them. So I think this is one of the years that they're really excited. And as a college football fan, I'm really excited as well to watch that game for sure.
A year ago, Mark, we had a similar conversation on the radio about this game, and they were coming here to Bryant-Denny, and you're right, Andrew. I think last year they thought that it was going to be a little bit more of a game than in the previous years, and it was, but through no fault. Through no fault of really them playing great or us playing great. Both teams kind of played down to each other, and it was an ugly, sloppy game that relied on Derrick Henry and a couple other big plays on the line. But this year, I agree. This is the year that if they've got a chance to win, this is about as good of a chance as they're going to get in the last decade. And
Their fans, I mean, I was looking at VolNation.com yesterday. I mean, their fans are sky high. There's a thread on VolNation right now, a post saying Bama's very beatable. And I'm like, Alabama's won 18 games in a row. They may be beatable. I wouldn't call them very beatable.
Yeah, very is not Jones, necessary you know, there.
Butch Jones was quoted this week saying this could be the best Alabama defense he's seen since he's been there, which is really interesting for sure as well. So.
Well, I think part of the hype among Tennessee fans, at least, is that the little deceptive in terms of Alabama, Arkansas passed for we'll get into this a little later, but Arkansas passed for 400 yards on Alabama. And I think Tennessee fans are starting to think
that's our strength. We can do that too.
Yeah, they're going to be able to throw the ball on Alabama.
Right.
My view of that is a lot of that passing from Arkansas came in sort of garbage time.
It's junk.
Bama won that game in the first half. It was not in doubt after the first half. Right. And I know Nick Saban gets upset when they when they don't play 100% every play for 60 minutes. But the truth is, Bama kind of coasted in the second half a little bit more. And I don't think we're going to see that Saturday.
No, in typical coach fashion, that gave him a great thing to light into him about. And so that really gave him some something to look at with the team. And I'm sure they focused on that all week.
Right.
And so they're going to be hypersensitive to that kind of that kind of offensive. Let down for their defense. I also, I reached out to my Tennessee friend that I used to work with this week. We talk at least once, 1 week a year. And what he said is, he's a little afraid that Butch is not as great of a prep coach.
Right.
And so he's got kind of a rough plan going into these games, and you go through the first half and the plan isn't working.
Right.
And they've got enough talent that at halftime he's able to come in and say, all right, scrap my plan, and you are having a great game, so we're just going to refocus on you two, and that's why they're coming out in the second half. He had very little faith in the Tennessee team being as good as maybe they've looked in a few of the games.
Right. I think, and for Alabama fans need to be scared about. If Tennessee puts together a first half and a second half like they've put together second halves, this is going to be a ball game. But if they don't, it's not. So
because
they've played a quarter and a half
in most games.
And we said the exact same thing last week against Texas A&M. And, you know, we're saying the same thing this week. When does it stop for them?
The other thing that I think is interesting, and we'll certainly talk about this later on, is that he was asking me what I thought about the Alabama team. And since I've been here, this is the first Alabama team that I felt really strong about the commitment to a quarterback this early on. Even good with Blake, it wasn't – you always were a little afraid Blake was going to lay it on the on the rug a couple times, even as great of a player as he was. And so it's been such a different year this year, whereas I felt extremely confident that we were the best team in the nation at the end of the last season. I didn't feel that way at the beginning. This is the first year since I've been here that I thought that we were clicking this early. Now, that can be a downside, and you can kind of fade as the year goes on, too. But clicking this early with a consistent quarterback, with the receivers we have, and the defense once again, every year it sounds like we're talking about this is the best defense we've seen. And so I think that'll be tough for Tennessee. If they don't play four quarters, a defense like this will really make you look ugly.
They will. Moving on to other games throughout the day, I think looking back a few weeks ago, looking into the future, some of today's games would have been really exciting. The UNC-Miami would have been great 3 weeks ago. Stanford-Notre Dame, maybe even the beginning of the season would have been really excited. It's funny how things shake out.
Missouri-Florida?
Missouri-Florida
could have been a game if it was that weird year 3 years ago.
Exactly. So what other games, what sticks out to you all?
Well, to me, Ohio State at Wisconsin.
Oh, that's huge.
Ohio State's had a – Michigan's had the easiest schedule of any
major
team in the country.
Yet? Have they?
Ohio State's had a pretty easy schedule. They did have the big win out at Oklahoma, that kind of thing. But this is a real test for them. I think Ohio State is the real deal. They have an excellent team. But Wisconsin at home, you know, at Camp Randall.
It's not an easy place to play.
It's not an easy place to play. It's going to be an interesting
game. Camp Randall's going to be rocking.
Yeah, 7 p.m. kick. That's really good. I've got my in-laws coming into town this weekend, so we will have a house full of Ohio State fans.
Oh, wow.
There you go. We'll have fresh Marsh's Buckeyes in the house.
There you go.
How delicious are those? Never had one.
Fantastic. I may be able to bring some in for next week's show, Andrew.
Great.
We'll see about
that.
That's good.
So, yeah, I think that's a great game, and let's see. They played well against Oklahoma early on. Let's see if they can make it click against a strong Big Ten opponent at this point of the season for sure.
Looking forward, I think with the remainder of their schedule, I think Ohio State is that team that you can say that they're most likely going to go undefeated. They have Wisconsin, and then they have Michigan at the end of the year. Other than that, those are the only two
Sparty games. Being down.
Sparty being down makes this an easier path.
Exactly. Normally they get into this part of the season, and you got to get Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Michigan all in 6 weeks. But they don't.
When you look at who Alabama has left, who Clemson's still has to play. When you look at those things, I think Ohio State might be that team that could emerge, you know, undefeated at the end of the season. So this is one of their first or second true tests. You could say Oklahoma was a test, but I think in conference,
let's not blow our nose at the Oklahoma game.
Right,
it was a real game.
It was at Oklahoma, so that made that a real game.
Believe me, Rutgers and Indiana are not real games. Right. I get it, but
I think either Ohio State or Michigan will be in the playoff. I think I'm not sold on the Khaki Lord and his team, but they are blowing people away. I mean, that Rutgers game is ridiculous.
Hideous.
It seems to me you can hold your score down below 78 points. You know?
But what he does.
No, it's not. That's not his thing. I mean, I think he went for two.
That's how he got that eight.
Probably.
I also think this Ole Miss-Arkansas game, you know, Ole Miss has snuck into the top 25.
Yeah.
They've got two losses, but they're against great teams, theoretically, and they had a tough stretch early on. Yeah.
You could say best two-loss team in the nation.
Yeah, so I think there's some teams now. We talked about this a little bit last week. They're playing spoiler from here on
out.
So they may not be in the national picture for the top four, but they are in the picture for a great bowl game, a great payout, and to really piss off some rivals,
sometimes
that's an easier motivation than lots of other motivations that the coaches try with them. So I think there's a big chance for some of these teams to start messing with the rest of us that are trying to stay undefeated.
Right, absolutely, because, you know, it's still a race in the SEC West, still a race in the SEC East. We don't know, you know, with LSU and Florida not having played, how that's going to affect
It's a race of attrition in the East.
It really
and
is, isn't it?
That's a whole – in the next segment, we should talk a little bit about that LSU-Florida situation. But hey, first of all, let's take a short break here, though, before we get to that, and this is all sort of sets the table for today's games. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey! Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Before we get into today's picks, let's take a moment to get in the time machine and go back to last week. There were some close games, some coaches who were already on the hot seat before the game, and certainly their seats got far, far hotter during the games last week. Let me run down here real quick. I've got the sheet in front of me of how our picks were individually last week. We had a co-win here from Andrew and Mark, both at 10-5. The dear George Brown and I both landed at 9-6. I think we all got the North Carolina game wrong. Virginia Tech beat them pretty handily. We all got the Notre Dame game wrong. Watching that game in a hurricane was pretty interesting. You know, I got the BYU over Michigan State game right, but I, of course, missed Miami and Florida State because Florida State miraculously pulled that game out. We were kind of split on Arizona State, UCLA. Split on Minnesota. George is not really helping us with these Minnesota picks.
No,
and
not.
So you went against George.
I did.
Which is kind of crappy, to be honest with you.
I mean, I have no loyalty when it comes to picks.
The second that you weren't officially on his payroll anymore, you kind of turned on him. You were the lone Penn – no, you and Mark got Penn State. I stupidly – you know, my love of Old Bay seasoning kind of brought me to like Maryland.
Hey, that
for
was
some
that
reason.
Was fun though. I like that. You gotta bring that.
It's a good snack. Yeah. It's a terrible football team.
Fair enough.
And so that's where we shook out. So that really leaves Mark in the lead by a pretty big margin at this point. 6 games, 86-29. George 82-33. And if he keeps on winning, I'm going to take him off this chart. He doesn't live here anymore, so we'll just cut him out. And then Andrew at 80-35, and me at 78-37. So interesting games last week. I mean, the Tennessee-Texas A&M game was incredible.
Yeah, incredible game.
Electric.
The Florida State-Miami game was really incredible to watch.
Absolutely.
I also think that the Notre Dame-NC State game, I don't know if you all watched that whole game. It was fun to watch. That was a slop fest.
I didn't see it. I saw a video after it. But it
we had a friend
like
that went to the game, so we watched it just to see what they were dealing with, and it was absurd.
Just awful.
And that brings up the point of, you know, I watched him play in Miami, and it looked fine.
Right.
I watched him play in the middle of hurricane rain at NC State, and they had a couple brief delays because of lightning, but other than that, they slogged through that game. It was ugly, but a team found a way to win.
Right.
And then, as Paul Feinbaum, our dear colleague, tweeted out, it was 87 degrees and sunny in that horse farm in Alachua County at game time. And so the LSU-Florida game, which they both lost by not playing it, you know, I'm all for safety, and I'm all for risk management and understanding when to make these calls. And I know it's tough to make a call at a time when you are trying to predict what's going to happen. But it seems like maybe they made that call a little too fast, right?
Well,
like,
you know, Georgia and South Carolina delayed their game by a day.
Till Sunday, They went to
and
Sunday.
That's what I was thinking LSU and Florida should have done.
Yeah, right.
And they didn't do that. And now they're in a real bind.
They've gone out publicly with their real bind and made it even uglier.
They have.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's interesting to see how – and we understand Florida had – emergency services were on the coast.
Absolutely.
We totally understand.
You know, they couldn't play the game Saturday. Florida couldn't do it. I know a lot of fans don't want to hear that.
People couldn't get there.
That wasn't an option.
Right. But what was their plan B? Their plan B was what? This?
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's awful.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and it's interesting what the LSU AD's come out and said this week. Like, we are having a home game on the 19th, which has made this even uglier than it really should be.
What was interesting to me with LSU's AD was the fact bringing Alabama into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll play on that Saturday. We'll play Florida on that Saturday of their bye week. You know, they were going to move South Alabama to they were going to move South Alabama to the Saturday of the bye week before Bama. Which is next weekend, and they were going to – and then they play Florida on the 19th of November. And then he said, we'll play a game on our bye week if Alabama plays a game.
Right.
Like, what has Alabama got to do
it's
with
it? It's got nothing to do with this.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
And where were they when we were playing USC and Ole Miss in the same span of 3 weeks? Where are they now when we're playing at Arkansas, at Tennessee, and then here against Texas A&M? Like, folks, the schedule shakes down sometimes.
Right.
To where you got some tough rows, and so you can't always control that.
Right. And that's the thing. You're absolutely right, Adam. It's a bummer. It sucks. But it's something you have to do. They have to play the game. Or, you know, down the road, Florida, let's say Florida wins out, LSU, heaven forbid, wins out. You know, the SEC championship, there are implications with this game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everyone agrees, I believe, that it needs to be played. It's just when are they going to figure out how to do it?
I believe the commissioner needs to basically say, and I don't know what the bylaws are, are of the mm-hmm. SEC, but needs to say you either play this game or neither team's eligible for the SEC title game.
Instead of the, which is such a shame, right?
Instead of the opposite of that, the nonsense they're spewing now about, well, no, we just won't count divisional against divisional games.
Right.
And so, no, don't affect the other teams that have been doing the right thing.
Right.
It's absolutely absurd.
The other option I've seen is, well, delay the SEC title game by a week. And that affects everybody else. First of all, the awards shows are during that mm-hmm. week.
Right.
So a lot of these SEC teams have athletes who are supposed to go to the College Football Awards, and then the Heisman's also that way. I mean, you're talking about – and then you're also talking about delaying the final choice of the College Football Playoff teams by another week.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't work. You have a lot of preparation for that, and, you know, they have – they should – the thing they should do, I think, is play this game – next weekend, move South Alabama and for LSU into that weekend, and then play Florida on November 19th.
Yeah, take a cupcake before instead of your bye week. That's fine.
Right,
right.
My favorite tweet I saw about this came out pretty quick about why don't they just move the game to the first Saturday in December, because I don't think either of these teams will have plans that day. Yeah, that's good, right?
Funny.
That's
I
a
like
good
that.
Shot. That's a good
I
shot.
Know.
I forget who did it, but
actually,
it was a
good I love
shot.
That. That's
good. Yeah. Just play it in the middle of SEC championship because they won't have anything else going on.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree. That was kind of absurd for them. You know, we talked about Washington last week. Washington kept on winning.
They
Alabama kind
of
destroyed Arkansas.
Yeah.
They got some points at the end, don't get me wrong. The Georgia-South Carolina game was just as boring on Sunday as it would have been on Saturday, but it had something to watch. And Texas A&M, Tennessee, I mean, I don't think you can say enough about that game.
Right.
That was and going back to our previous conversation about Tennessee, I was ready last week if they pulled it out at the end to say, you know what, Tennessee's just that crappy team of destiny this year.
Right,
and they are the Auburn from a few years ago that
Absolutely.
Won ugly.
Absolutely.
And didn't feel like they deserved it but made one or two more plays than the other team. So when they were about to pull it out at the end, I thought, well, this is their year. Maybe they're right. But then they lost it. So it makes me think that that's probably not true.
And I was at that point when Texas A&M is running into the end zone to go up 14 points with a couple minutes left. And then they fumble the ball out of the end zone for a touchback. And it's like, did Tennessee really just get the ball back down seven with a couple minutes left? It was truly mind-blowing.
Well, I thought the game was over. That was the longest game I've ever watched. I turned it off when it was a blowout. And then all of a sudden the other games ended. And I saw the ticker. And I said, honey, that says there's still time left. That's not a final.
Right. Yeah.
There's no way that game was still on, and that was well before they even went into overtime.
Absolutely.
So,
Well, those CBS games are long anyway.
Yeah, they are.
They pack in so many commercials and all that. But, yeah, you're right. That game went on and on. It's still, as a Bama guy, it still worries me that Tennessee even got back into that game.
I agree.
I mean, there is something with this Tennessee team.
They lost six fumbles.
Yeah.
Six.
I know.
And had two interceptions. I mean,
they are clearly getting better.
Yeah, they are.
They don't have it all figured out, and they're not clicking on all cylinders, but they are getting better enough, and they clearly have enough talent now to overcome mistakes. And,
and
so if you can even be in a game with that many
turnovers,
then you have talent that outweighs your mistakes.
Against a good Texas A&M team.
Against a good
team.
Seven
turnovers against you know anybody is going to kill you.
The only thing about A&M, though, is that's some of the worst tackling I have ever seen in a college football game.
Yeah.
They were just I've never seen that many broken tackles before.
They
were like butter running through A&M's defense. And
which
A&M's defense
for Alabama.
Is a lot improved this year.
I think they were ready to go home and save some bruises because they had a couple big games coming up.
But Kamara should have had half of the yardage because he just kept running through. Dobbs just kept running through him. I'm like, does anybody know how to tackle on this team?
Well, and Tennessee did this without their first or second best player, too, right? So
Jalen Hurd.
So this is without Hurd. So that's a little concerning,
Speaking
too.
Of Jalen Hurd, I'm really excited about our colleague Vern Lundquist differentiating from Jalen Hurd and Jalen Hurts. I love
that's
Vern.
Be good. That's
I do
be
love
good.
Vern, and I'm really, really excited
I'm
to
gonna
hear.
I'm going to mute the game and listen to music or something.
Tolerate
it.
I'm all in. I'm all in.
I'm not going to be able to make it.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be too much. So that's how it went, folks. That was last week. That was the Skybox time machine, and now it's on to today's games. Let's take a short break here, and we'll be right back to discuss the third Saturday in October, which is today. A beautiful Saturday here in Tuscaloosa. Warm, bright, sunny. It's just gorgeous. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey,
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's Alabama versus Tennessee, Crimson versus Orange, and all what promises to be a wild and crazy Neyland Stadium today. It's the first time Tennessee's been ranked since Nick Saban has been at the helm for Alabama. So the rivalry's really revved back up, and it's been just as hot in the past between these two. Really, really exciting to get to this game this week.
Yeah. You know, this series has been one of streaks, I think, you know, where Alabama, like when Bryant was here, Alabama won, I think, 11 in a row at one point.
Right.
Tennessee won 7 in a row at one point. It's been a – and now Alabama's won 9 in a row. It's been a series of streaks. And once one team wins and breaks the streak, you sort of have to, you know, hold on if you're the opponent because they may be off on another streak. That's just the way the series has gone.
If you're a Tennessee fan, you got to be a little worried as long as Nick Saban is the coach at Alabama, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this is really exciting. I hope that the students here at UA understand the tradition with this rivalry, you know, going back to the 60s.
Yeah.
This is a really, really, really fun game every year. It's one of my favorites every year. And so, I said, I hope the students really understand what this game means.
Yeah.
And I think they do.
Yeah. I dragged out some old pictures this week. I'm ancient. I was sports editor of the Crimson White here in 1976. I've got pictures of Bryant smoking a cigar in the locker
room
after the game. It's just amazing. And this was a huge game for Bryant. It's a huge game for Bama fans. The rivalry has taken a hit, you know, because Bama's dominated this team for the most part since Saban's been here. There have been like two close games, including last year, but otherwise it's been a blowout.
Right.
It was a blowout even in 2007, Saban's first year. Bama loses to La Monroe, but they blow out Tennessee.
Right.
But now it's back, and certainly as we discussed earlier, the Tennessee fans are sky high for this game.
They're over
this
the
means
moon.
Everything to them.
It does.
I'm hoping, of course, they're going to leave incredibly disappointed today, as they should. But we'll see.
Tennessee fans, they're looking at the schedule like, okay, if we can take one of two between Texas A&M and Alabama, we're absolutely in the SEC championship. Even if they lose this game today, they're still most likely going to make the SEC championship. So this is a this is a big game for them, really.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of other options.
Rivalry aside, this is huge.
Yep, absolutely. And they've already beaten Florida, right? Is that true?
They have.
And so the tough game against Texas A&M last week, which doesn't show up as a really bad game. They came back, and the score was tight, and they went into overtime. And so nationally, that seems pretty good.
They didn't fall at all in the AP poll.
They stayed the same.
That says a lot right there.
Right. It does.
They didn't fall, and they shouldn't fall. I like that kind of voting.
I do,
you think the team, you know, don't just put undefeated teams ahead of once-beaten teams if the once-beaten teams have played better competition.
Close games against better competition.
Game. Right. But Tennessee, I mean, the Georgia win they had, the Hail Mary, last weekend getting down to by a couple of touchdowns, A&M coming back nearly and taking that game into overtime. They had a lot of turnovers.
Right.
So if they hadn't had those turnovers, would they have actually blown A&M out? I don't know. Turnovers are part of the game, and I'm sure the A&M folks would say they forced those turnovers. So,
you know, you got to imagine, like you're saying, Andrew, a win against Alabama is huge for them, of course, both nationally and rivalry-wise. Well, a close loss against Alabama, what do you drop into the top 15? It's not too bad. It's the number one team in the country, and you're still
just to number 7 or number 8 and then number 1. How far can you fall?
And you got to assume that Florida's going to drop another game because that team is awful.
Right.
I mean, they're awful. I don't care what anybody says. They're awful. And so whether that be this magical LSU game or whether that be against another opponent coming up.
Arkansas later on in the season.
Arkansas later up. Somebody else.
Missouri this weekend.
Missouri this weekend, yeah. I mean,
we can only hope.
So they could pick up another conference loss, and then Tennessee would have the tiebreaker at that point. So,
and Tennessee's schedule after the game today is very easy.
Yeah,
I think Missouri is the only really decent team they have left.
It is. Like
they,
I said,
they will run the table after this game today.
They are – Tennessee fans are Tennessee, the team is trying to get through these last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Period. These are, once you got through Georgia, these last 2 weeks are huge for them.
Right.
And no doubt that they want to beat Alabama for sure.
So. I think Dobbs, this is last year, I believe, right? Because this is like the third year he's played against Alabama.
Yeah,
He came in that game
a couple
years
ago. Yeah.
And then he, of course, started the game last year, and then this year. And I think, you know, in my view, this is the best shot they have at beating Alabama today. Right. Because I don't think they'll have the shot in Bryant Denny next year. Bama's got a young team. They got a lot of people coming back.
Right.
Jalen Hurts is going to be here a couple more years, right, or at least another year. I mean, you know, I think this is their shot.
It is, for sure. And the people inside the locker room, I guess, at Tennessee, I'm not there, I don't know, but I'm guessing they think if they want to go to the playoff, they have to win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think anybody outside of that locker room probably doesn't believe that they're going to playoff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if they want to go, they have to win this game, period.
They do.
So it'll be interesting to see if they come out ready to play like they have not the whole year.
Yeah, because I don't think a two-loss team can go to the playoffs. It's possible. I mean, Tennessee could lose this game, still win the East, defeat Alabama or whoever they're going to play again,
right,
in the SEC title game, and maybe
they could
go to the,
yeah,
playoffs.
If they beat an undefeated Alabama team in Atlanta, and you know, the Big 12 is kind of a mess, the Pac-12 could mess themselves
also
up.
Also, could this be the first of two matchups we're going to see with Alabama, right, and Tennessee?
It's very possible.
I
think Tennessee, whoever they play, I think it's going to be Alabama or A&M in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss still has an outside shot. LSU, I guess you could say, has an outside shot. But I think whoever it is, if Tennessee wins the East, I think they're going to be playing a team they played before. Mm-hmm. And I think it's either Bama or A&M.
Absolutely.
Sort of, well, to your point earlier, this is their time. The East, I think, is at its lowest point this year. And I think they were at their lowest point last year. And so Georgia's taken a step back. Right. South Carolina is a non-existent football team.
Right. They're not. Right.
All of these teams have new coaches. And they're not hitting their stride quite yet. And so you're just not, you know, Florida.
Your boy Stoops,
Georgia,
is still there.
My boy Stoops is there.
He's there.
Vandy and my boy Stoops, right, is about all you got there in the East.
Yeah,
two easy ones.
And so it's just not a tough side of the league. And so if you're going to have your opportunity, this is what I said about Mark Richt 5 years ago, is that was Mark Richt's
time
to win
in
the East. That was South Carolina's time to win in the East before Spurrier quit and went home. So those were the times. If you don't take them, then you're kind of lost, and you're going to have to deal with us again next year, and you're going to have to deal with getting beaten up by the West. And eventually I believe that Georgia and Florida will pick it back up a bit.
Right,
they're not
going
to be down as long as, say, Tennessee is going to be
for
down.
For the East, that's the hard part. You know, the West, there's going to be two or three teams that you're just not going to beat in the West,
yep,
period. And so, like you said, the East is down, and I don't see any East – I just don't see any East team right now beating Alabama or Texas A&M.
No, and I got to – coming up soon, right, the next couple weeks would be the Georgia – Florida cocktail party game.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, who's going to care about that, right?
Yeah. Usually that's the biggest game in the country.
What a letdown. By the time we get there, it's just going
to
be like,
they're going to have to raise the pay for bartenders.
They are.
Because nobody's going to want to show up.
No.
I mean, you know, they better pay them overtime for that game.
Absolutely. Although the fans may be over-drinking due to the fact, or over-drinking more due to the fact.
Yeah, because there's nothing on the field.
There's just absolutely nothing to watch. Yeah,
I mean, that's
good. Have you guys ever been to one of those?
I have not.
I've never been to one.
I'd like to get to one.
I hadn't been to one. So
that whole area is pretty cool. The Jacksonville
Landing
and all that.
I've got a couple Florida friends. They seem to enjoy it. So
Well, Florida fans enjoy a lot.
They do.
They don't have much going for them.
Yeah, it was in Spurrier's day at Florida. That was
it's quite a time.
That was the place to be.
Yeah, and remember Ray Goff at Georgia, and Spurrier would always take shots. Yeah. And that was when that game was
really fun.
Yeah, but the fun's not there anymore.
I don't think. Certainly not.
So I don't. It's crazy, but. But a big one in Knoxville today, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's going to be in the tradition, maybe hearkening back to when the rivalry was at its best. But
we can only hope, right?
But you know, Neyland will be loud. I mean, no doubt, 102,000 people screaming, wanting to end this streak. They don't like Saban. They can't stand Kiffin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're afraid of Kiffin, though.
They are.
I've been reading some comments. They're really worried about him.
You can only hope Kiffin comes out and does what he did last time. Gives the gun and the wink.
Right.
That's always exciting stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So much for that rivalry in the past. Now it's time to make some fearless picks from across the games today. We'll do that after this short break. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey,
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, guys, there are only like three truly meaningful games today nationally, in my opinion. But hey, we're fearless enough to pick them all anyway. But let's start with the early games. That would include Vandia, Georgia. Who you guys got?
I think in Athens, Georgia's an easy win here. As much as Vandy has improved and Georgia's down, I think Georgia's got it easy.
I agree, Adam. I think Georgia's going to win this game for sure. Coming off a short week,
yeah.
I still don't think it's going to make a difference.
Absolutely not.
I think they'll win it, although I think it won't be close. But Georgia's had trouble with Vandy in the past, like struggling. I mean, they tend to win, but it's
a 10-7 halftime game.
Vandy plays an ugly game. Yeah. You got to give it to them. They make the games ugly, if anything, which gives them a chance to win. But they
do.
Don't
they, that's,
but you know, they don't.
But they don't.
No, and they won on this one, so I think Georgia will be celebrating a big victory in Athens this week. NC State at Clemson. This could be interesting. Obviously, Clemson is, you know, after that Louisville win, they're on a roll at this point. But what do you guys think?
I like Clemson at home for sure. Like you said, NC State, you know, did get the win last week, but Clemson for sure at home.
Yeah,
they're the better team.
They're better.
And they
Clemson's
have so much to
win
play for
at home. I think NC State's pretty jacked up and is going to enjoy playing the game.
Yeah,
outside of a bowl of water, which is what they played in last week.
Right.
But I think Clemson will be too strong. That could be a little bit of a letdown for Clemson, but I think if they're on the road, that letdown would have been a little more impactful. I think Clemson gets another easy win this week.
Yeah, I agree. George Brown's our colleague, our Big Ten colleague now, his Minnesota team against Maryland, at Maryland. Minnesota's had a pretty rough go lately.
Yeah, I need George to kind of explain some things about Minnesota.
Yeah.
But I
think the gold plate's fallen off the gopher a little
bit. I think
so,
too.
Right?
And Maryland's a pretty bad football team.
They're not good.
Maryland at home, I think I'm going to take Maryland.
I am also taking Maryland. I have zero confidence in this game.
Yeah.
But going with the Terps at home.
I'm with you guys. I'm going with Maryland. And hey, George sent his picks in, and he's going with Maryland, too.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to lose the game.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we better all go with Minnesota, then.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Good for
with
Minnesota.
All
we just cursed them into winning.
Right.
But, yeah, I think Maryland wins that one at home, and that's not going to be a very fun game to watch either.
No, it's
not made for television, and that's why they put it at 11 a.m.
Right, exactly.
All right, Kansas State at Oklahoma. Big game. Bob's got himself a mid-level game.
Yeah, the Wildcats are coming into town.
Yeah. What do you think?
Oklahoma for sure. Like I said last week, they still have something to prove after those couple losses early. Kansas State is always a fundamentally sound football team, but Oklahoma's going to win at home.
I'd like to pick Kansas State. I've got friends that went there, and I think they are always pretty good, and they can pull out a win.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be this week.
No.
I agree. Oklahoma's going to, you know, Baker Mayfield, the man with the great name, is going to wipe them out.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
So. I don't think it'll be close. West Virginia at Texas Tech, the poster child there.
I think this is a tougher one.
Yeah. I'm going Texas Tech. I've picked West Virginia, I think, every week so far. But
they've been at home.
They have been at home, but they are not at home today. This is going to be a track meet, which I love to watch. But I think Texas Tech is going to win at home. I think tortillas are going to be flying everywhere.
There we go.
See, that's this was a tough one for me, and I think West Virginia is going to pull it out on the road. I think the great kind of comb-over is going to
I love that salad.
I think it's going to be
lettuce is out of control.
It's going to be flying around in Texas, and I think that it
is windy there in Lubbock.
It is, and Texas Tech's got that beautiful coach, right? What's his name?
Cliff Kingsbury.
This is really
I've got a friend.
Two questionable gentlemen, and I think I think West Virginia is going to pull it out.
I've got a friend that has a shirt that says, "Our coach is hotter than yours."
Yeah, it's
which
true.
Is true. Well,
at least they got that going for
right.
them.
Yeah, they do.
They got a good-looking coach.
That going for him until he gets fired.
Exactly. He's
and he will get
man.
Fired. Eventually.
And he'll land on his feet. He's a pretty enough guy.
He'll figure something else out.
He will, no doubt. I'm going with West Virginia in that, too. Okay. I'm going to go with the Mountaineers and I think they got a pretty good team, so I'll go with them. It wouldn't surprise me if Texas Tech wins, of course, but I'm picking West Virginia in that.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. Interesting game. I mean, it's not, you know, it's one of those where
– You tried to get that out of your mouth, Mark. You didn't do it very well.
That's a game I will not be watching, but –
Let's might as well admit it. But Pittsburgh at Virginia.
Yeah, this is, I feel like, Adam, this is a game that you're going to watch.
Heck yeah, man. I'm
you
going all Pitt.
You love to watch the Pittsburgh
I like
Panthers.
Watching Pitt.
Did you see their jerseys last week?
Yeah,
epic,
they're cool.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got the matte helmets. They're
that's
good,
purely
man.
Why I'm picking Pittsburgh is because of how their jerseys were last week. I'm not going to watch this game. I could care less about this
Pittsburgh
game.
Is a better football team than they've been in a number of years. And if they pull a few more things together, they could beat some more teams in the ACC. And you know, that's not saying a lot, but Virginia's awful at football.
Yeah, they're not
they're
good.
Awful. They're really good at being smart, and they're really good at academics, and they're really good at
they've
honor
been
code,
good at basketball.
Theoretically. They're good at basketball. They got a heck of a baseball team normally. Yeah. Beautiful place, Charlottesville. Cool music scene. All of yeah. those things.
Those
though,
don't
do
win
not,
football games.
No, they don't change the fact that they're an awful, awful football team.
I agree. Thomas Jefferson did not design their football team.
No, exactly. No, he did a lot of good, but yeah. football but, wasn't his bag. But these 11 o'clock games are tough.
Yeah, I'm going with Pitt. I think Pitt takes them down, and I don't think it'll be close in the end.
You know, I think a lot of people may spend their morning at the Kentuck Festival or doing other things in beautiful Tuscaloosa this morning rather
yeah,
than
right.
watching these 11 o'clock
games. Can't blame
games.
Them, can you?
Right, I can't.
Going into right. the 2:30 slot, we have USC at Arizona, a little Pac-12 matchup.
Yep.
What do y'all think? I skipped Oof. Over the Alabama-UT game.
Yeah,
we'll get to that.
I got you, Mark.
Yeah.
I need
obviously.
You to go yeah. first, man. I think this
well,
is
I'm,
tough.
Well, you know what? I think USC is kind of righted the ship, you know? I think
yeah.
I think they're a pretty good football team right now, and I don't think Arizona – I think in the state of Arizona, I think the Sun Devils at Arizona State are a better team. So, but in terms of the Wildcats, Arizona, I think USC goes in there and beats them, and – This is a. I think they're sort of evenly matched, but USC's got the better athletes, and that's what I'm going with.
I agree. Yeah. I think on the road, they're not able to stop them, and I think they have better athletes. And it's helpful to Bama that USC kind of has pulled it together
yeah.
a little bit, at least for strength schedule towards the end of the season.
I'm going USC as well, and I'm glad you all said that. Looking at this game, USC purely has better football players,
they
and
do.
That's why I'm picking.
They do, no doubt.
Moving on. North Carolina and Miami. This is an exciting game for sure. What do y'all think?
Whew, I think
yeah.
you overstated the excitement of this game.
I'm
excited about this.
But you're talking to a guy who's going to watch Pitt.
Yeah,
right.
I think Mark Richt is such a nice guy.
He's a good dude.
Have we said that on the show before?
I don't know. That's, you know, I can't run the tape back immediately, but I think possibly. But he is a nice guy.
Yeah,
that nice guy has got a pretty decent football team.
I think nice guys win in this game. I'm going with Miami in this one.
I agree. Yeah. I'm going Miami.
I think Miami wins. You know,
does it hurt you to go with Miami?
Not really. You know, they'll have a crowd of probably pushing 2,200 people in that
yeah.
stadium,
yeah.
in the Hard Rock Stadium.
What else would you want to do, Miami, besides
what else would
go
you do
see a college football game
in the middle of the afternoon on a Saturday?
That might be an overestimate, but yeah.
Go to the stadium an hour and a half away from
right.
your campus and
right.
watch the UNC Tar Heels play football.
I think that's the one stadium in America where the gates are wide open and they'll just
oh,
say,
yeah.
come
on, come
on.
It's
come
like the original
in.
Woodstock.
Right.
They stopped selling tickets
right.
years ago.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's an ugly game. Cool. I guess Miami.
Yeah.
Interesting
yeah.
start time for this next game, 2:45. We got Virginia Tech at Syracuse. Adam, what do you think?
That's in the dome, right? The orange dome up
I
there,
know.
Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the backs of their big win last week, I'm going to take Virginia Tech. That's Justin Fuentes, right? The coach there
yeah.
that came from
Memphis. Yeah.
I'd like to see him do a good job with this team. Quite selfishly for me as an ACC guy, I need Virginia Tech to be a decent
yeah,
team
right.
just for the sake of the league. And so I think they go into Syracuse and beat them up pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm also going Virginia Tech for sure, especially after last week.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I think Virginia Tech's improving, and I think they're better than Syracuse. Although, you know, Syracuse can play some – decent football
yep.
in the dome there, but I think Virginia Tech's the better team, and they'll go in there and win, and they are improving.
Yeah.
So,
all right, 3 p.m. we have Missouri versus Florida, a little SEC East matchup. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm taking Florida. Not really excited about this game. I will be keeping an eye on this game because of the SEC East implications, but I'm picking Florida to win for sure.
Yeah, I think Lizards and the Snoozer.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be a tough game actually for Florida because Missouri's
sure
shown
so.
A little improvement, you know, but Florida's got
to Missouri win this just
game.
Tie one together right here.
Yeah,
I think this is 13-9.
Yeah, that's about
I mean,
this
right.
is just
like
that's bleh. Disgusting.
Yeah.
This is just
disgusting.
It's but yeah, Florida's going to win it.
It's a swampy game in the
it
swamp.
Is.
Right.
It's, you know, no
staying with the 3 p.m. games, we go out west for Utah versus Oregon State. What do y'all think?
I'm going with Utah just because I think they are the better team. But I'm telling Oregon State, you know, at home, I don't know. This may be the year where Oregon State's better than Oregon. I mean, you almost have to be. Right. Oregon's so bad. But I'm going with Utah. They are the better team.
I'm going with the same kind of loose confidence in Utah being the better team, but I don't feel any better about it than it seems like you do, Mark. Right. I think Oregon State could win the game, and good for them, but I think Utah's probably the better team.
I agree. I'm going with Utah, just purely on their most likely the better team.
Well, I had a friend, by the way, who lives in Salt Lake City, send me a Ute shirt this week, which is great. I'm going to put it on Saturday.
I won't
watch the game, but I'll put the shirt
There you
on.
Go.
I like the Utes. I like their program.
Well,
like,
everybody's got to do
like
their
Willingham
part, Mark.
Out
that's
there.
Your part.
I'll do my thing for the Utes. I'll put it on for a while I'm mowing the grass or something. Well, I won't be mowing the grass. It's dead, so no water around here.
Don't need to mow it. It's already dead.
Yeah. All right.
Let's get into 6 o'clock, huh? This is when things get a little bit more interesting. We've got Ole Miss at Arkansas. Arkansas coming off a tough loss to us last week at home, and Ole Miss coming off of Chad Kelly getting into a brawl at a high school football
classic
game.
Classic Chad Kelly, right?
Yeah,
right.
Classic Chad Kelly.
Right.
Guy's been in college for 19 years, and he's still thinking about high school. So,
yeah, right. Yeah.
What do you all have here? This is a ranked game. This is the 6 o'clock game here.
I thought about going with Arkansas in this game. I really did.
Did you?
I thought, you know, that Allen got 400. He did get 400 yards passing on Bama, as we said, some of it in garbage time. But Ole Miss, I still believe, may be the second best team in the SEC, mm-hmm. and they're certainly good enough with that offense and bad boy Kelly to go in there and win that game. So I'm
Swag
going Ole
Kelly,
Miss.
As he likes
yeah,
to be called.
Yeah, Swag Kelly.
I'm going
as
Ole
he
Miss.
Likes to be called.
Right.
Because the coolest thing ever is to make up your old nickname.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
That's what really cool kids do.
I'm going with Ole Miss. I think Arkansas loses two in a row. You're right, Mark. Ole Miss definitely – the second or third best team in the West, which means you're the second or best third team in the SEC. Yeah.
Ole Miss is the better team. Ole Miss is going to win the game, but I don't care. I'm going to pick Arkansas because I can't stomach picking.
You got to get.
Ole
you got to come
right,
back on some
go.
Picks too.
There we
yeah,
go.
I got to make up some ground, and it just disgusts me.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, you may be right.
Down with Ole Miss.
Yep.
Stanford at Notre Dame. This is a prime time huge matchup with College Game Day being there, except for the fact that it is not 5 weeks ago. And so right now it is a soon-to-be-gone Brian Kelly hosting a Stanford team, and I'm going all tree over Irish personally. I think the tree is going to go in there and beat them up. What about you guys?
I do too. Absolutely. I'm Stanford, no doubt.
Yeah.
South Bend is going south,
right? I'm going Stanford. McCaffrey
Notre Dame is broken.
McCaffrey can't be kept down 2 weeks in a row. I think he goes in there, and just because of him alone, I'll pick Stanford.
And the question is, if they fire Brian Kelly at the end of this year, are they just going to be paying three football coaches next year? Because I'm pretty sure they're still paying
Are they still paying Tyrone Willingham?
Probably.
That's a good question.
It's possible. Weiss.
At least Tyrone deserves the money. Weiss is a different question.
Right.
No doubt.
So 7 o'clock. Let's stay out west here for a little bit before we pop up into the Midwest. Arizona State at Colorado. Shockingly an interesting game.
Yep.
What do you guys have?
I'm taking Colorado home.
Oh!
Wow. Yeah. I think that's a fearless pick, Mark.
Yeah.
That is a fearless
it's
pick.
It's something.
Maybe I am fearless.
Misguided pick?
Yeah, I think it's misguided because I'm taking the Sun Devils. I think they got a good team.
We'll see. Hey.
You know, they lost to USC, I think, last week, but I think they're 4-1 now, 5-1. I'm going Arizona State.
Film won't lie.
It won't, I guess. I'm going Sun Devils as well. I like the pick. I think maybe we should rename the show from Fearless Picks to Misguided Picks because that's a little more accurate.
Okay.
I like it.
Maybe if we get trademark issues. And so, big game in my household and across the country, Ohio State at Wisconsin going up to Camp Randall facing Bucky Badger. And so, who's going to win, Brutus or Bucky?
Like I said earlier in the show, this is one of Ohio State's toughest matchups of the year, but they still win. They end up undefeated.
What any problems here? Is it close, or do they go up there and they kind of pull it out in the second half and blow them out a little bit?
I think Ohio State wins it. I think they pull away late second half or in the second half. I think they pull away. I think it'll almost be like Wisconsin's a lot better team than Indiana, but I think the score will be kind of like that Indiana-Ohio State game last year, like 35-17.
It looks big at the end, but it didn't feel that way throughout most of the game. Yeah, I agree. I'm going with the Buckeyes here, too. Finally, out west, 9:30 in the p.m., UCLA at Washington State, another interesting game.
I'm going with the Pirate.
I am as well. I literally just changed my pick to Washington State.
You guys are all going Pirate,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm taking UCLA in the upset. UCLA in the upset.
Right,
I think that's Rosen's going to go in there, and the Pirate's going to shoot himself in the foot because that's what Pirates do sometimes.
that's true. That's a good point. Pirate's known for when people think he's going to win, totally shoots himself in the foot. But I'll stay with Washington State. All right. So anyway, that's the way it is around the country. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back to give our picks and thoughts about the Crimson Tide and those Vols. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
You are back in the Skybox here at 90.7 The Capstone. And as we've made reference to, there's a pretty big game here in Knoxville this afternoon with the Alabama Crimson Tide visiting the Tennessee, whatever their team's called. And so we're volunteers, headed up there here. Volunteers.
I think.
You think they're called
Volunteers? Andrew's not going to agree with it. I think they're the Vials. I'm pretty sure.
I've heard Volunteers.
Volunteers.
Volunteers. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that. So, we're headed up there. The team is headed up there to take on these Volunteers.
Right.
What do you guys think? It's a huge game, obviously. It's a third Saturday in October. It's the cigar game for lots of folks. What do we have going on?
Let me come out and say it. I think Alabama's absolutely going to win this game, no doubt. But if Tennessee puts together a first and second half, like we've said the past 3 weeks, then they can absolutely win this game. And it won't be too surprising, honestly.
They have to
come out ready, and in five games they haven't shown that.
Right.
So tell me, absolutely going to win this game. Let's speak about our confidence here. There's a level of confidence going against Ole Miss. There's a level of confidence going against Arkansas. Where's your level of confidence in this win compared to those two?
My level of confidence really high.
Okay, higher than those two games?
Yeah, I think higher than Ole Miss for sure. I think Bama's. We'll give our score picks, but I think Bama's going to go in there and take care of business. I think they are absolutely the better football team. I don't think Tennessee. First of all, Tennessee's banged up quite a bit. That won't make as huge a difference, I think, as a lot of people might think, because Tennessee is going to play as well as they can play. I think they're not, I think they're determined not to get behind early. I think Alabama's depth. I think Alabama's. I was thinking about this. I don't know of a single position Tennessee has that's better than a single position Alabama has on any side of the football and special teams. Mm-hmm. I don't know of a single defensive line. I know they got a couple of really
Derek Barnett's
great guys.
Pretty
Barnett's
darn good. Yeah.
But I don't know that he's certainly not better than Tim Williams and Jonathan Allen and Reuben Foster. And I mean, talking about Bama's defensive front and their linebackers and their. I don't see anybody on their team. I don't think Dobbs is better than Jalen Hurts. I'm going to tell you that. I do not think he's better. I think he's more experienced, and I don't mean not to give him credit, but I think Jalen Hurts has shown that he can lead the offense, and Jalen Hurts has more skilled players around him than Dobbs has. That's sort of how I look at it. I don't discount Tennessee, though, with their talent. They do have great talent, but I think it's all in their 11 on each side of the ball. They don't have the depth to hang with Bama. But, hey, we've seen before, we saw Alabama drop the ball five times against Ole Miss a year ago.
And like back to what you said, Adam, the confidence level. My confidence, I'm more confident in Tennessee beating Alabama than definitely Arkansas, maybe not Ole Miss. But like I said earlier, Tennessee, it's only because if they put together those two halves. Mm-hmm. If they put together those two halves and play like they have showed us that they can play, then this is absolutely going to be a football game, and Tennessee's capable of winning. You mentioned it. Tennessee has three all-SEC guys that are hurt on the defensive side, which really hurts them. A cornerback and two linebackers. But like Derek Barnett, Tennessee's defensive end, he's going to have to show out, put a lot of pressure on Hurts. I expect Hurts to be on the run a lot, which probably I don't know if that'll help or hurt Alabama, but we'll see. With his ability to run, most likely I think it'll help Alabama. So
I agree. I have less faith in Tennessee putting together two halves to beat us than I have in us making a ton of mistakes. Not that this is what we do, but I think if we lose this game, it's because we lay the ball on the ground and we make some just dumb, uncharacteristic mistakes, and they take advantage of them. I don't think that Tennessee team can put together four quarters.
Yeah,
I just don't think they can.
And
sometimes that doesn't happen, and that's the difference between being at stage two of a recovery program and being at stage three.
That's a good point.
Not everybody's clicking every day. And so
the mistakes, yeah. Going back to the mistakes, Alabama is one of the most disciplined teams in America.
Absolutely.
And so, like you said,
we haven't been doing that this year.
Very surprising and very uncharacteristic if that were to happen.
Yep. And right. We haven't shown that part of us this season. We showed that part of us this season early on, last season early on against Ole Miss, and we showed it even a little later. We haven't shown that part of this team, and so hopefully we don't continue. I'm very confident as well, but I think that's how the only opportunity for us to lose this game is by us beating ourselves. And
I agree.
That's such a cliche, but that's the case. I don't think Tennessee can rise up and beat us because I don't think they have four quarters in them. I just think they're too young and still gelling and just still kind of – they've listened to a lot of hype about themselves in the last week. And
moral, that gets to you at some point,
And a moral victory and a loss is always – I think disconcerting for a coach to try to work with that team all week because you did lose. Let's not focus on the good things.
We didn't talk about this earlier in the show. Tennessee fans, if you read read articles, they don't. It's like they didn't lose to A&M. It was like, well, they turned the ball over seven times and we lost in overtime. We still lost. That's a great point. I'm glad you said that.
You all both spend apparently far more time on Tennessee kind of websites and bulletin boards than I do. but yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
I mean, it's easy as a fan at that point to look at the bright side, and you did have a bright side in that game, but. You know, like I was picking on Auburn for last year. Like most times, you forget in these quote unquote moral victories that a moral victory is oftentimes a big ol' L on your schedule.
No, absolutely.
It is. It's a big ol' L.
And the playoff committee.
And an L does not help you get to Atlanta, nor does it help you get to the playoff.
No, and the Bama Tennessee game last year, I'm not making excuses for Alabama, I'm really not, but that was a week later last year. Bama had played another game. They were needing, in dire need of a bye week.
Yep.
They played tired.
Tired, beaten
up. They
were
clearly the better team last year, but it took a drive with the last 5 minutes of the game
and
to win it.
I think
they did do it. And it was. I think Tennessee's got closer last year than
they will this year.
That's absolutely fair. Yeah. That drive you talked about last year, I think that was huge for Alabama's season going forward.
Yep.
It was
breakout of Calvin Ridley. He caught like five outs in a row, and Coker just kept feeding him. So,
and we made some kicks, and Coker threw the ball down the field and all of it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, could this be a breakout game for Alabama to win an ugly game? Because you have to at some point.
At some point, they're going to have to. Yeah, but I don't know. I think more pressure – I don't know. There's pressure on Alabama every week because they're number one and all that. But there's a lot of pressure on Tennessee to end this streak fans mainly.
Yeah.
But also I think the Tennessee people in these sites we've been looking at, wasting time looking at these Tennessee sites, but their fans are counting on Nayland having a destructive impact on Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to rattle Jalen Hurts with all the noise. And Alabama – we can only judge by the past. Alabama does not get rattled in away games in other stadiums, even in Knoxville. That's Bama will probably have to go with silent count some of the times. They know how to win on the road. Sometimes I actually think they play better on the road. Mm-hmm. They don't have the home distractions here. You know, so I don't see that being a problem or an issue. I think Alabama Saban's process means go take care of business. Now, the flip side of that is, you start turning the ball over, then the crowd noise hurts you more too.
Right.
So we'll see.
For score predictions, what do you think, Mark?
I think Bama's going to wallop them. I think it's 42-17.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going in. I think they're that much better. Tennessee has not played anybody, including A&M, on the level of Alabama. That's the way I look at this. This is a really good football team. As I said, I think Bama coasted a little bit in Arkansas last week. But let's face it, they went and crushed Arkansas in the beginning of that game. They took care of business at night in Fayetteville. That's what Alabama does. The only thing I think gets in the middle of this from my plan is fumbles and interceptions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that happening.
I'm pretty similar. I think it's a 35-16 kind of game. And interesting to me is the Lane Kiffin factor of how much he enjoys
he loves
doing
this
stuff,
doesn't
and
he?
So I hope that coach lets him kind of do a little bit of Kiffinisms and throw some more bubbles and get Jalen the ball on bootlegs and stuff like that. And I'd love to see kind of a little bit of a mix up of Jalen running around, which we saw a little bit of last week.
Right.
And I think that's a piece that Jalen has that we haven't utilized enough. And I think they use that to kind of break it up a little bit offense-wise, and then they just get pounded. So, yeah, I'm going 35-16. I'm going to say it's never in
never in jeopardy.
Yeah, some orange and white checkerboard in the stands isn't going to throw us off at all. I mean, I just don't understand, and that stupid song. And I mean, nobody it's not going to affect
Since Nick Saban's been here, I saw a stat. It was, I think, Tennessee's averaged maybe 12 points over the past eight or nine years that he's been
here. Yeah, I think these points, what did you give him point-wise, 17,
16? Yeah, 17, 42 is high.
So
it's a lot of points.
I do think, like you said earlier, Mark, Tennessee looks at the – looks at Arkansas last week and says, hey, we can move the ball. I think Alabama absolutely scores at least 35 points, but Tennessee gets in the upper 20s. Maybe 38 to 28, something like that.
All right.
But I kind of agree with you, Adam. I don't think it's ever going to be in reach for Tennessee, you know, especially if they don't get off to a good start. Yeah. Then it's over. It's, you know, it is. And
Well, watching the game last week, I found myself certainly in the first half, three quarters of, wow, this Texas A&M team, they'll be tough. I got to start paying attention to them a little bit more for the next couple weeks.
Right.
And then at the end, watching Tennessee came back, it didn't really make me any more concerned about Tennessee.
No.
It just didn't make me flip and say, oh, well, maybe Tennessee we have to watch out for. Because the way they were coming back and the way, you know, you capitalize on two mistakes in that game, and that's what got you back in the mix. And so it's not like they all of a sudden turned on a well-oiled machine of an offense and defense in the second half. They just turned on a just scatterbrained kind of take advantage of a few things and pull out some points. And so I don't see that changing.
No. And I think also Alabama having slacked around a little bit in the second half against Arkansas is great motivation for Saban to have gotten ready this year.
For sure.
So you can't – don't let this happen because this team can come back on you. Keep the pedal to the metal, and I think we're going
to
see it.
He's got to have something to chew on, and he's probably shown him the second half of every Tennessee game this year, and then shown him the second half of every Bama game, and where we let up and where we settled back. And I absolutely agree. I think that he's had enough motivation to kind of make it happen, and there's a lot of motivation in this game for sure.
Hopefully it's a good game. I'd love to see a good game, personally, but – I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't. I got to say, I'd love to see Bama just wallop them and be over.
I think we all agree. Alabama's definitely the better team, going to win. So
yeah, it's a big game for both teams, no doubt about it. It's going to affect the SEC completely and the national picture, and we're going to see how it goes. But I think Bama will take care of business today.
Well, all right. We're shockingly as homers all universally going for Bama. So those are our picks for this week. Thanks always to Terry Siggers, our producer and general manager. Thank you to Dylan for helping us out again today. If you're on your way to Knoxville to the game today, you should probably already be on the road. So hopefully you are. You got a 2:30 kickoff there. Be careful. We'll talk with you all again, same time, same station next week. If you're here on campus looking for a place to watch the game, come out to the Ferguson Center again. And we've got great food this week from a fine, fine barbecue restaurant here in town. You've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.